Friday, April 22nd, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live, not steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal, but from the 2016 Mass Torts Conference at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas. This one is coming out of Indiana. it involves Mike Pence. And, you know, we hear these stories sort of broadly speaking about Republican governors who, whether it's in New Jersey, whether it's in Kansas, really just about any state with a Republican legislature and governor, where they are attempting to cut taxes and cut services. And usually those services that are cut fall on the least powerful political constituencies. And fortunately, in this story in Indiana, a law firm stepped in at one point. This is Lynn Toopes. And here's that interview I recorded yesterday. Joining me now, Lynn Toopes, an attorney with Cohen and Malad. And are you based in Indiana?
Yeah, in Indianapolis.
And so this is a case of, well, why don't you tell us what this case involves?
Sure. So up until 2014, Indiana was the only state in the nation that did not pay an adoption subsidy to families that adopted special needs children out of the foster care system. And basically, an adoption subsidy is a daily subsidy, ranges from $17 to $25 a day, that helps these families to raise these children, so they, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to afford to adopt the child because they require a lot of care. So Indiana was the only nation that didn't pay this subsidy. But Indiana.
Why is that? I mean, just that's a pretty unique distinction.
It's like, you know, honestly, I think it was just to save money. But again, you know, what our study showed in the case was that it ends up costing the state more money when you don't pay an adoption subsidy, because then the children don't get adopted and they age out of foster care, end up back in the system, you know, whether through jail or whatever, which ends up costing the state a lot of money. So to just pay this small amount of $17 to $25 a day until the child turned 18, although it seemed like a lot of money and it was in the tens of millions of dollars, it ended up saving the state a lot of money on the back end. But I think
Do you have a sense of how many kids we're talking about?
It was 1,800. It was over 1,800 children, because up until 2009, we did pay this, but Indiana stopped paying it in 2009 because we put a cap on property taxes. So there was it was paid by counties, so counties were financially burdened because they no longer were going to have the sort of property tax income that they were previously having. So there needed to be cuts, and apparently this was under Mitch Daniels, our former governor Mitch Daniels. This cut was made.
Former budget director, do I have that right, Mitch Daniels? Well, the point being that they come in, they want to cap property taxes. They don't allow any municipality. Is this state property taxes, or these are like local property taxes?
Yeah, this is like local property taxes that would go to the county. And so the state said, well, if we're going to hurt the counties like this because they're not going to be getting the money in that they're used to getting, we'll take over some things. One of the things we're going to take over is this adoption subsidy program. Took it over and then cut it.
And so they cut the subsidies to provide for the adoption of these kids. And then what happened?
So then what happened was the families kind of needed to be still induced into adopting these children because it was so financially burdensome. An interesting statistic is that over half of the families that adopt children out of special needs, they almost live in poverty themselves. It's not wealthy people that adopt these children. So anyway, what happened was Indiana came up with this one-page kind of, or actually it was like two or three-page contract, right? And where, you know, it said, they would write in a number anywhere from $17 to $18 and say, we'll pay you this adoption subsidy. You know, this is happening in the courthouse when they're getting ready to adopt this child. They sit them down. We'll pay you $17, $18, $25 per day. But it says if funds are available. Sign it, families adopt the child, and then that's when they're told, well, actually, there aren't funds available. Because what was happening was, in Indiana, we have a budget surplus, right? So what the governor does is he gives a state agency, you know, $100 million, but that agency is told 25% of that has to come back at the end of the year. So they don't really get $100 million at all. They're only allowed to have the $75 million, but then they give back $25 million at the end of the year. So it looks like, great, you know, we've got all this extra money. We've got this huge surplus. We're such a financially healthy state. But obviously, to do that, a lot of cuts have to be made. And unfortunately, in Indiana, it was made off the backs of these special needs children. So they said they didn't have funds available because they really only had, you know, $75 million, for example, was not the right number. But they only had a certain amount of money allocated, and then they had to give the rest back. Well, we said, we came up with this argument that, no, that money was available.
All right, let me just back up here. So on... not literally on the day that they do these adoption proceedings, they're signing these documents, or is this was this promise to ultimately pay in the event that there is money? Was that something that went into the process of folks deciding whether or not they could actually?
Yeah, that's what these families were told.
So this wasn't a surprise on the day that this IOU, more or less, wasn't presented to them. For the first time, or at least the concept of it, wasn't
right. They did not understand. I mean, and again, it didn't matter for the lawsuit whether they understood or not. I mean, we were dealing with black and white, you know, contract language. But basically, the families, it was all over the map what they were told and what they were understood, you know, what they understood they'd be receiving. But by and large, they thought that either the funding was available or would be available. They didn't understand that it would never be available and they would never receive any money. There was actually called the state adoption subsidy waiting list. They were on the understanding that they were on a list, and as funds became available, they'd be coming off the list and be paid. But nobody was getting taken off the list.
And just to clarify, as people are making the decision as to whether or not they can sustain adopting these children, they're doing it with at least the understanding that ultimately we're going to get $15 to $25
right.
per day.
And if those families were fostering these children prior to the adoption, which they frequently were, they are getting a foster subsidy about the same amount. And so, I mean, this was income that they had to have and that they were used to having. And then the adoption came and it was just instantly gone. They were hopeful that was a temporary period, that it would just be gone for a little bit. But there was never any intention to pay it, to never say that there were funds available.
So before you state the argument that you guys are making in seeking these funds, at what point did people start to realize that they're not getting the money? I mean, how quickly were they told?
Well, so what happened was they were given the runaround. So this started in 2009, and you know, the families, you know, there are some great you know, advocacy organizations for these children, and they were trying to rally, you know, the legislature to do something. You know, there was even a committee hearing, and these families were testifying and crying. You know, because eventually they were starting to realize, you know, in 2009, I think about 2 or 3 years after that is when they were like, I don't think anyone's coming off the waiting list. I don't think anyone's getting paid. So they started to do it through the political process and got nowhere. You know, they didn't get a single penny allocated to them. And so finally, you know, there was a little old grandma that was kind of, she was at the judge in the adoption court asked her to take the children. He wanted her because I think a daughter-in-law was going to adopt them, but he wanted someone who stayed at home. That's another point is that in order to get these children, you have to meet certain qualifications. And for some of these children, you can't work, right? Okay. And so that's how the judge didn't want these three children, you know, that were the class reps, didn't want whoever adopted them to work. You know, so I mean, look at what these families are dealing with. They can't work in order to get the children, and the state's not going to give them a subsidy.
So it's either, you know, sort of folks who are independently wealthy
yeah.
who are looking to help out these
yeah.
kids.
And those aren't the people that adopt them statistically. So
how many families? We're talking about 1,800 families, essentially, more or less?
It was 1,800 it was 1,800 children. So the families, I think the families were about, the number was around 1,400 or something like that.
And so there were 1,400 families who were, who made the decision to adopt these kids thinking that they would get support from the state. And we're not talking hundreds of millions of dollars per family. We're talking about anywhere from $15 to $25 a day. So, you know, we're talking $150, I mean, a week in the neighborhood of and to take care of a special needs child. I mean, that doesn't even seem like that much to me, frankly.
No, I mean, just,
And so they sign up with this notion that the state is going to make the funds available as it becomes available to the state. But the state is playing fast and loose with the budgets of these agencies that would support these people because they want to project that we can cut and freeze taxes and still come a surplus. This is basically the Republican fantasy world, right, where we can
Absolutely.
Get everything for less. And as long as we pick a fairly politically underrepresented and quiet segment of our population to offload essentially the cost of us projecting that we're fiscally responsible, there's not going to be any payback for this.
Yeah, excellent way to describe it. And unfortunately for the state, there was a grandma who went to, who just thought this wasn't right, went to a lawyer that had helped her in a personal injury case. This lawyer looked at this and said, this isn't right. We need, you know, the legislative process has not helped them. I know some class action lawyers down in Indianapolis. I'm going to bring this to them. We looked at it. We looked at the contract language. It said if funds were available. And we said, you know, we think it'd be tough. It'd be a tough uphill battle. But, you know, let's bring a breach of contract claim. Straightforward breach of contract saying funds were available. That condition was satisfied. So pay these families. And what was happening at the time was that this was back in 2014, the summer of 2014. Our governor, Mike Pence, was kind of being considered as a presidential hopeful. And he had made a statement in his State of the State address that he wanted Indiana to be the most adoption, because he had adopted, like private adoption. He wanted Indiana to be the most adoption-friendly state in the nation. And what he was going to do for that was to give like a $1,000 credit to families that adopt, you know, wealthy people that adopt, you know, newborn babies that aren't special needs, right? And so, but
and presumably this is part of an agenda, a sort of a so-called pro-life agenda, right? And
absolutely.
But it works two ways. I also give a tax credit to wealthy families.
Yeah, it's yes, exactly. He's giving a tax credit to wealthy families that are adopting the babies that everybody wants. They're literally fighting over these babies, and then they get a $1,000 tax credit. But let's talk about all the children that nobody wants and the poor families that are adopting them and taking the burden off of the state, taking them out of foster care. And so we sued him, and you know, once this hit the, you know, kind of the wire, and there was some considerable political pressure, I believe, you know, obviously we're not up there in the governor's office, and they ended up settling the case just a few months later. So, you know, in their defense, they did make it right, you know.
So the theory that you made in terms of the breach of contract was that the money was actually in these agencies, and then the agencies were ordered to return the money back to the general fund of the state.
Yes.
And so the money was available. They just chose not to use it for that.
Yes.
And therefore, there's the breach. And then it's through this lawsuit that Mike Pence, who might be running for president, maybe he wants to be vice president. He certainly doesn't want to be seen as, now that it's hit the media, I guess,
right,
as responsible for basically cheating families who have adopted special needs kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just...
Yeah, and you know, and to show that, you know, claiming to the entire state in a public forum that you want to be the most adoption-friendly state in the nation, but then also our lawsuit brought to light the fact that we were the only state in the nation that didn't pay this subsidy. So I think it was just so damaging. And that you know, they obviously felt that, you know, the best thing to do was to, you know, put this lawsuit to bed as quickly as possible.
So did they settle with all of these families in terms of like restitution for
we did a class action settlement because we brought the case as a class action. Only one woman had to step forward to represent everybody, and so they settled it. And what they did was they paid a set amount of money that was then just distributed to the families based on how long they had been on the waiting list and how much they were supposed to be paid. Remember that $17.25
right.
per day. But then they also agreed, they did this right like after the lawsuit was filed, but right before we went into mediation, they agreed to fund it like for 2 more years. So, you know, not only did the families on the waiting list get paid, now in Indiana, when you adopt a child out of special needs, out of foster care, special need child out of foster care, you are paid this subsidy.
How many years are we into that 2-year period? And what happened?
So it's 2016.
Then?
They agreed to do it through, I think most recently, I think they've agreed to do it through 2017 based on some of the budgeting numbers that we had seen. So, you know, we're watching that. You know, we're watching that and making sure that it continues to be funded. We know as a result of this lawsuit, you know, we get calls all the time, you know, so we are monitoring it. And if it ever stops, you know, we're going to, you know, look to see if there's anything we can do, because this is such an important subsidy that needs to be paid.
It's pretty shocking to me just that they would put a cap on it. Like, let's just do this for 2 years, as if this need is going to sort of somehow.
Well, but again, it goes
go
back,
away.
You know, you hit the nail on the head about the, you know, Republican fantasy world of budget surpluses and having all this extra money and cutting taxes and, you know, look who that hurts.
Right. Lynn Toops from Cohen and Malad, thank you so much for your time today. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.